last night about Birch HaSanen and how much of there's a real Isser involved if you eat before you say a bracha, or there's really no Isser at all, it's actually a Birch HaSanen of some sort, a requirement to say a bracha. And we went through a number of nafkamina, you know, whether you have to understand the language, whether or not, in the case of Suffolk, how do you pass in the case of a Suffolk? So I wanted to just elaborate on one of the issues we spoke of last night. That was someone who didn't know the bracha. He didn't know the bracha to say, what is he supposed to do? So the Netziv, based on the Deek and the Gemara, and the Netziv concludes that there's no Isser. He says, his question was, Gemara tells us, if you don't know the bracha, you go to a Chacham, learn the bracha. He says, oh, what's the chiddush in that? Every Isser, you're supposed to learn from a Tanu Chacham how to get around the Isser. Obviously, Gemara is trying to tell you something different, and therefore he said it's not an Isser. There's no Isser eating food without making a bracha. Rather, it's a mitzvah ba'alma, and if someone doesn't know the bracha, he's allowed to eat. It's no different than someone who doesn't have a mezuzah. We don't say you can't live in the house. No, you go to the house, you're just mevata and asay. Brachas work the same way. Birchas anen. And then we point out that Rabbeinu Yonah said that if someone doesn't know the right bracha, he's supposed to say birchas hanet, it's birchas shahakol. Because shahakol at least removes the iser milah. If he doesn't know the appropriate bracha, shahakol covers the iser milah. The mashmos of that Rabbeinu Yonah was, if he did not say shahakol, there is still an iser.
The Netziv says you would have to say shahakol at the end
of the day? Let's say he doesn't even know shahakol. Okay. So it sounds like Rabbeinu Yonah, if the guy didn't know shahakol, he wouldn't be able to eat. The shahakol only allows him to remove the iser milah.
Now, according to the tzib, let's say he knew shahakol. Would that help?
Yeah, so
definitely would help.
At this point, yes. We always know shahakol is like the super bracha, covers everything. You can't just say, if you don't know what bracha to make on something and you didn't look into it, you can't just say a shahakol. If the conclusion is we don't know what the proper halacha is, then you say shahakol. But if just based on your own ignorance, you didn't look into halacha, that's not enough of a reason to say a shahakol. That's another discussion. So on this topic, we get into an interesting Gemara in Chulin, very halach l'maisa. Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Zayin Amabez, tells us that a person cannot give his shamish, a waiter, cannot give him a piece of bread if he knew he did not wash his hands. He can't place it actually into his mouth. You can't take a bread, put it in the waiter's mouth, feed him directly if you know he did not wash his hand, because it's usur to eat bread without washing your hand. From this, Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos, this is found in Mem Beis Amud Aleph, B'da Perif. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, we learn from here, the same holds true. If you give to a person food and you know he's not going to say a bracha, it's also there's an Isser. Thus, you are violating Lifnei Iver in both cases. A Baal Bais who gives a waiter food and his hands were not washed, he violates Isser Lifnei Iver. So too, if you give food to a guest, you know he's not going to say a bracha, also you violate the Isser Lifnei Iver.
Two very different Isser.
Okay, why?
Just Father Nature. I'm saying, well, if you're going to hold that it's a matir, then is washing it it's a matir?
Yeah, I mean,
apparently it is.
Well, even if it's not matir, it's still for sure an Isser. Right. It still is an Isser to eat without washing your hands. So Rabbeinu Yonah, Lashitaso, thinks eating food without a bracha is also an Isser. They're very much equated. According to Rashi and the Rambam and the Tziv, there's no Isser. So there's no question, nothing to talk about. Of course you're allowed to give people food. They don't know the bracha, so they don't know the bracha. Now, what comes from this, that ends up being a nafkamina, whether you could give people bread. No one explicitly, I didn't find anywhere, explicitly says you're allowed to give a person bread even if you know they're not going to say bracha, but I think l'chor you could say such a thing. So from this we're going to get to just this very small halachic topic that relates to this. The Rabbeinu Yonah goes on to say, let's say it's an ani. Let's say there's an ani comes to your door and nothing to eat, and you know he's not going to say a bracha, or not, you don't know, but he says, all he says is to give midin tzedakah, it's permitted to give midin tzedakah, and there's no problem of him not saying a bracha. Because it's tzedakah, it's permitted to give him. When he comes to your door, you could give him something to eat. So, the pashas is, you would say, what's the hesber? Why are you allowed to give an ani to eat, even though he may not say a bracha?
Life or death,
interesting. Okay, I'm not sure if it's a case of pikuach nefesh, but pikuach nefesh for sure. Let's say it's not pikuach nefesh. He's hungry, but he's not dying. So, the simple explanation is, I thought, and afterwards I saw, none of the main Achronim said this way, and I was wondering why. Asay docha lo sasay. The mitzvah stuck on asay is docha, the iser of lifnei iver. And the lifnei iver is only an iser midirabanan, because the iser to eat food without washing your hands, without saying a bracha, is only an iser midirabanan pashas. We'll see later on. The chok is, but pashas is only iser midirabanan. So the asay of tztaka overrides. So none of the Achronim give that answer. I was very bothered why. So the Prima Gadim explains, this is found in Simon Kuf Samech Test. The Prima Gadim explains, I don't quite get it, but the Torah never told us in the case of a lav, is a mitzvah to give tzedakah. You're supposed to give tzedakah, but whoever said in the case of a lav, you're supposed to give tzedakah. The Torah never says that way. I'm not sure why. The Torah doesn't say every ase docha lo osase. It doesn't delineate all those cases. So I don't really fully understand. I've got to look into it a little further. And secondly, he says it's a mitzvah babi aveira also. So somehow that knocks out the ase docha lo osase. It requires a little understanding, but that's why he just knocks out those answers.
So those two put together?
No, I'm not sure put together. I think those are one on top of the other. Either each one independently may explain it, but he just, if you read the Prima Gadim, he's very terse. He just like says little points here. So it definitely requires a little more eating. So that, for those reasons, I guess, the Achronim don't give that answer. So what's the reasoning why you're allowed to give tzedakah, even though the Ani may not say bracha? So the Taz explains, this is Orach Chaim Simon Kuf Samech Tes Sif Katan Gimel. The Taz says, because we're talking about a case where he may or may not make a bracha. So it's a case of Vadei tzedakah, your Vadei Mekan the Mitzvah tzedakah, and it's a suffix whether or not he's going to make the bracha. So Ein suffix Motzi Mide Vadei. The suffix, whether make a bracha or not, is not going to uproot the mitzvahs of tzedakah vadei. The Bach says, no, the reason is as follows. The Bach, it explains, the Bach was the father-in-law of Taz. Oftentimes they argue. The Bach says that, the reason is as follows. You can't compare the case of giving bread to the shamish, feeding it directly into his mouth, to giving food to an ani. Giving food to an ani is a step removed. Giving the food to the ani, you're mekayim tzedakah. The iser doesn't take place until he decides to take a bracha and eat it. As opposed to placing food in the shamish's mouth, that action of putting it in his mouth, that itself is the iser. So therefore, Bach writes, it's not really lifnei iver. It's lifnei de lifnei. So why is it usher, why is it usher if it's not me din tzedakah? Okay, so just a siag of some sort. So, again, there are two explanations why tzedakah overrides you. Either because it's a case of safeg only, or because it's not lifnei iver. Nafka mina being, let's say no for sure that the ani will not say a bracha. Either he doesn't know a bracha, or he's mamash rasha, he won't say a bracha. According to the Bach, you're still allowed to give him, because it's a mitzvah tzedakah to give him food. Ah, he's going to violate the iser. That's lifnei to lifnei. That's far removed. According to the Taz, though, Taz says no. If it's safeg, so ain't safeg motzi mi devadi. But if he's vada, not going to say the bracha, for sure you should not give him. Now the Beis Yosef challenges this Rabbeinu Yonah, where the Rabbeinu Yonah has the heter to give tzedakah to someone who's not going to say a bracha. The Beis Yosef says, I don't understand. The case of a shamish, if the Gemara says, if you know for sure he didn't wash your hands, you can't give it to him. It's usher to give it to him. Even though there's a mitzvah to give food to the shamish. There's a mitzvah to give food to the shamish. The chor of the mitzvah is stuck osa. The shamish is working, he needs food. So that's a mitzvah. He doesn't say it, but that's how I understand him. It's a mitzvah tztaka, and it's usher to give him. The shamash shel too, it should be usher to give an ani. Mitzvah tztaka, what's the difference? So the Taz here explains as follows. There's the difference. When it comes to a shamash, if you tell a shamash, go wash your hands and say a bracha, he's going to listen to you. You're allowed to tell him what to do. You're paying him. You're his boss. But by an ani, if you tell him you have to wash your hands first and you have to say a bracha first, you might scare him off and you might miss out on the opportunity of tzedakah. But shamash, the shamash won't run away. This is what the Taz writes this. So l'halacha had to be paskin. So Shulchan Aruch writes that he paskins that it's usher to give to someone you know will not make a bracha. Rama says, there are those who are makel. You could rely on the lenient opinion that b'makom tzedakah, you're allowed to give an ani. Shulchan Aruch says across the board, even in the case of tzedakah, you can't give. I'm not sure if the Sfarad and Paskin that way. If an Ani comes to the door, you can't give him what to eat. The Ashkenazim seemingly would Paskin, you're allowed to give tzedakah, even though he may not say bracha. However, the Mishnah Berurah qualifies it. If you know for sure, this is how the Taz Paskin said, the Magen Avraham Moshe, if you know for sure he will not say bracha, let's say you don't know. An Ani comes to the door, he looks like he's, you know, somewhat familiar with what's going on in Judaism. So you give him bracha, you don't have to make any assumptions. But if you know for sure he's a Rasha, or he's completely off of there, doesn't know Hebrew, doesn't know anything, then you can't give it to him. But then the Mishnah Berurah kind of pulls back a little bit. But if he's only because he's a Tinuk Shanishba, he just doesn't know any better. Not because he's an Amaretz and he's a Lahachis. He doesn't know any better, then you're allowed to. So those, again, a number of... Again, for Tzedakah, you're allowed to. And, again, if he for sure not going to say the bracha, you can't, unless the reason why he doesn't is because he's an Onus. He doesn't know any better. Now, very interesting that Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva, Simon Laman Hey, Os Aleph. So let's say you have a guest. A guest comes to your house, and the guest is not Shomer Shabbos at all. But he loves Bnei Torah. He's not there yet. He's not Shomer Mitzvah, he's not Shomer Torah. And you're concerned if you don't give him what to eat, he's going to not feel honored. He might feel very insulted. And furthermore, let's say you say, okay, I'll tell him in a very respectful way, go wash your hands and say bracha. In a very respectful way, he may take it the wrong way. You're walking on thin ice here, and you're concerned if you say something wrong, he may just distance himself further. So what do you do in such a situation? It's Isser Lifnei Iver. So right, the Mincha Shlomo, or Shlomo Zalman, he explains that in that case is permitted. If a person loves, you know, you see there's a desire to come closer, so then you should not, you know, hold back food from him because of this reason. So very important, you see, the idea of kirv and stuff. So that's that topic of giving what to eat to someone who doesn't know how to say bracha or may not say bracha. Let's move on to a different topic related to what we've been speaking about, this or not. This is also very, very halach l'maaseh as well. The Gemara Beis and Brachos. Yehuda says the following. Let's say you accidentally shachach v'hichnis ochlin atoch piv below bracha. You accidentally put food in your mouth without saying a bracha. So what do? So he says, masalkin l'tzarechad, you put the food over to one part of the mouth, u'mivarach, you say bracha. Another brisa says, no, you swallow it. And yet another brisa says you spit it out. So what do? You say the bracha while it's in your mouth, you swallow it, or do you spit it out? So the Gemara Paskins, it all depends on what type of food you're eating. If you have a liquid in your mouth, so then you swallow it. There's nothing you could do. You can't talk with liquid in your mouth. And you can't spit out the food either because it's going to be disgusting, the liquid. You'll never drink it. It's going to be baltashkes. So you swallow it. When it comes to food, there's a distinction. When it comes to food, it depends whether the food's going to get gross if you spit it out. If it's going to get gross when you spit it out, the example that's given is like something like a strawberry. You spit out a strawberry, who's going to want to put that back in their mouth? It's disgusting. So that you can just put to the side of your mouth and say the bracha. Now, ideally, it's always best to have your mouth empty of any food, anything at all, to say bracha. But in this situation, you have no choice. So you could say the bracha with the food in your mouth. But if you spit out the food, it won't get disgusting. What's an example? I don't know. Whatever the example may be, you spit it out, it won't get so disgusting. So then, let's say gum.
Gum,
okay. People will take gum out and put it back in, right? Okay, so gum. So that, it won't be disgusting if you take it out of your mouth. So you take it out of your mouth. Live, oh, there you go, live, that's great. There you go. Okay, so you take a lollipop out. We used to have this nice,
the
dum-dums, right? So you take the lollipop out of your mouth, you say the bracha shehakol, and you put it back in your mouth. So those are three cases. Now the two cases regarding food is pretty clear, and pretty much the Shulchan Aruch passes that way. The case of the liquids gets somewhat complicated. The case of liquids where you have to swallow it. So first question is, if you have to swallow the liquids, how are you allowed to swallow it? You never said a bracha. Isn't it an Isser Hanah? How could the Gemara advise you to swallow it and violate the Isser Hanah of eating food without a bracha? So according to Rashi and the Rambam and the Tziv, where there's no Isser involved, it makes sense. Very poshy. You swallow it because you missed out on the opportunity of saying the bracha, but it doesn't prevent you from eating the food. But let's say you say there's a real Isser, like the Marashah, or the Eger, or Beni Yonah, all those that we've seen, real Isser, how could the Torah advise you to swallow food? So there are two answers. Let's first start with the Chochma Shlomo. Rav Shlomo Kluger, his Hagos on the Chidushim on the Shulchan Aruch, always has very interesting tshuvas. He was asked some shaila related to Tumah of some sort. Tumah is Ochlin, being in your mouth. You have your food in your mouth. You enter into a house. Not sure exactly the case. But he goes on to explain our situation of food in your mouth. And he says, why is it not a problem of gzeila? If food's in your mouth, why are you allowed to swallow? Why is it not? So look, listen to what he says. Kaven de ikrim tam habracha de havi kigazol lo yisparach. The reason why your bracha is because it's an isra gzeila from a kadosh baruch hu. Im kain, it has to be like gzeila. Zen nenev is a lo chaser. So he says, if that's the case, if it's zen nenev is a lo chaser, it's mutter. Gzela is when I'm nene and you're chaser. But if it's zen nenev is a lo chaser, so you're not losing out. There's no Isra Gzela at all.
So that should apply to everything.
So what do you mean everything?
In what way is it zen nenev?
Oh, so he's about to explain. Yeah. He's about to explain. So let me, even before he explains how it applies, let me just make one ha'ara here. We spoke, none of you were in the shir this past semester, but we spoke a lot about, even the beginning of the year, I think it was, Isra Gzela. And Isra Gzela, we spoke, Rashi and others, is Isra Gzela about a Maisa Gzela? Or is it Isra Gzela about the Totsah, the Hefsin Mammon you've caused? And there are nafka minas to it. Rashi always quotes a pasuk by Yigizal Sachanis, which emphasizes the Maisa Gzela, a very aggressive act. And others point, I think, the Ran in Sanhedrin in the third parak says about the Hefsin Mammon. So he's assuming that Gzela is all about Hefsin Mammon. If the guy is not Chaser, there's no Gzela. Even though he may have grabbed something away, if there's no Chaser, there's no Gzela. That's just a side point. How is this case of putting food in your mouth not a problem of Zeh Nenev Zol Chaser? He says as follows. Since once the liquid's in your mouth, if you were to spit it out, no one's going to drink it anymore. It's not roy for any person. It's sof, there's no chiv brach anymore because there's no gzela anymore.
It's not roy for God.
Right, so that's why I was bothered by also. You're stealing from a kadosh baruch hu.
Right.
So I guess the point is, it's not. He says it's not stealing from Hashem. It's someone else had the opportunity to give a bracha to Hashem on eating that food. So I took it. Well, someone else could have given a bracha. But once I've taken it in my mouth and it's no longer fit for that person, so then it's not worthy of a bracha anymore. A big chiddush, big chiddush. He's known for tremendous chiddushim, tremendous chiddushim. He's another famous chiddush he has on whole discussion on Kiddush Levana, and what I say, she has on Grama, Mogen Avram there, and Machlokas there.
So it's Zen.
Yeah, no.
So just to clear up, it's Zen and Lohazer Vizi, another person.
Exactly, yeah. I agree. I was also somewhat bothered when I read this. But that's how he's trying to get out of the problem, why there's no Isser here, why you're allowed to swallow the liquid that's in your mouth, and without a bracha, there's no Isser in Mila. The Raven, however, I think has a little more mainstream explanation, which kind of fits into our discussion. The Raven's found in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Ches, Halacha B'Yud Beis. The Raven writes as follows. He says, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but he says, when are you allowed to swallow this liquid in your mouth? It's particularly in a case where there's no other liquid and you really need this, you're really thirsty. But if there's another liquid there for you to drink, it's not the only thing, there's more water on the table, you have to spit the food out. Why? It says, below yehena mehen below bracha. In order that you should not get hanah from this liquid without a bracha, better for you to spit it out. Because there's a real issur b'davar. But if it's a situation where there's no other thing to drink and you're really, really thirsty, so it's better for you to drink that food even though you've never said bracha. But ideally, you really should spit it out. He goes completely against the pashtus of the Gemara, but the reason why, because the rabbi was so convinced there's a real issur me'ila here, that was the best way he had to explain. This sugya of putting a liquid in your mouth is another shayla that comes up as well. There's a machlokas we've shown him whether or not after you've drinking the food or the drink, do you say a bracha post facto? When you're finished, you say a bracha. The Rush in the back, this is found in Perek Zayin Siman Lamed Gimel. The Rush quotes Rabbeinu Chananel that says you don't say a bracha when you're finished. It says mishum de idch lehen mitaras mashkim, because the liquid now is no longer roy for anybody else. It's not roy to be drunk, so We're not makpid in saying a bracha.
It's only regarding liquids.
Liquid, yeah. The food, there's no real discussion about food. It's pretty straightforward. This whole discussion is about mashkim. Because once the liquid's in your mouth, it's not roy for anybody else to drink it. It's not roy for bracha. You don't say bracha afterwards. However, comes along the Rosh himself, and he says, no, you need a bracha afterwards. This machlokes, Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rosh, is also found in the Rambam Raivi. That same Raivi I told you, that actually he says two different points. So Rambam writes, Shachach v'hichnis ochlin l'toch piv, b'lo bracha, im hayu mashkin bolon u'mivarech basof. You're supposed to swallow it and say bracha afterwards. Now, Ruben was asking me before, what does basof mean? So Rabbeinu Manoach and others say basof means bracha achrona. Kesem Mishnah goes back and forth. He, in the end, concludes it's really referring to a bracha rishona, because otherwise the Rambam should have specified bracha achrona, not basof. He should have said, we're talking about bracha rishonas here. The beginning of the halacha base starts off, kol brachos elush and istapik behem in beirachim lav, you don't go back and say bracha. Lo b'tchil, lo basof. Oh, he's talking about both brachas, I guess. Rishona and achrona. So, yesh lachar, I think pashas advarim, the Kesem Mishnah learns this way, it's talking bracha rishona. You do say bracha after you swallow the food. So what's a machlokas whether you say bracha afterwards or not? Any suggestions?
Whether it's matir or not.
Yes, it has a connect.
If it's matir, you don't need to say one is the sada.
Exactly. If it's a matir, it's absolutely pointless to say a matir after you've already violated the issur. It doesn't do any good. But if it's not a matir, it's simply hodah. So, yes, ideally the hodah should take place before the bracha. That's a higher form of hodah, as the Kal V'chomer indicates. As the Kal V'chomer says, Kishu Saveh Mevarech Hu Sharoiv Lo Kol Shekein. If you say hodah when you're satisfied, isn't it even more logical you should say one before you're satisfied, when you're starving? That's when the great hodah exists. And therefore, it's best to say before. If you've missed the opportunity, you could say it afterwards, like Birkas HaMazon. So what comes out, the Rambam is l'shita, so the Rambam says it's always about a hodah, therefore you say the bracha afterwards. The Ravid's also l'shita, so the Ravid says in this halacha here, two different things. That is a real isser, that if the liquid's in your mouth, you're supposed to spit it out so you shouldn't get hana. And he also says you're not supposed to say bracha afterwards. He says, this is the lashon, he says, the only time you say bracha afterwards if your daito is to eat more. But if not, have the gamar, you're complete with your meal. There's nothing to be matir anymore. So the Ravid l'shitasa also in these two halacha, in this very halacha, these two points in the same halacha, halacha yibes. Now, furthermore, Rabbeinu Chananel also goes l'shitasa. Now, we didn't see Rabbeinu Chananel yet. We're going to see probably tomorrow when we discuss the sugya of matemes, someone who tastes food. The Gemara tells us that you're allowed to eat taste without saying a bracha. There's a whole big discussion there. So we'll see tomorrow. It's good. It works out well for tomorrow because I'm going to speak a little bit about tasting meat Erev Shabbos of the 9 days, which is going to be this week, of course. So Rabbeinu Chananel there, without getting to detail, he says, which the way I understand it, the whole bracha Birchas Hananen is about an Isser Hana. The Isser Hana, and the bracha is a matir of the Isser Hana, we understand why the Rabbeinu Chananel paskins in the Rosh, you don't say bracha after you eat it. Because once you ate it, there's no point of a matir anymore. But what comes challenging is the Rosh Hashitah. What's a Rosh Hashitah in general? So again, we didn't see the Sugya Matemis yet. The Rosh there, it seems pretty clear, it's all about Hana, and the Birchas Hanen is a Matir. Now, if the Birchas Hanen is a Matir, why then does the Rosh advise you to say a Bracha after you've completed the meal? No, you're done. So if you look in the Rosh, actually, the Rosh, fascinating. And this is a beautiful, and I think it's a beautiful deal. And it really goes to Shitasa. Why do you say bracha afterwards? It says the shiny hacha, yeah?
Wait, just a second, what are we defining as hana exactly?
Oh, just the eating. Okay.
The act of eating, or the sustenance that comes after.
Great, okay. So that's going to be a discussion tomorrow in Matemes, whether it's the taste on your mouth, your tongue, your throat, or it's the being full. Yeah, okay, so that's we're going to break. Right now we're being very general. Hana versus Hoda. We're going to break it down, Hana, into two different directions as well. So why does Rush advise one to say bracha after he swallowed the drink? So listen, beautiful, he says, Dinizkar shelo birech. We're talking about a case where while the liquid is in his mouth, he realized he didn't say a bracha. Ba'od mashkin befiv. While the liquid's in his mouth, he realized he didn't say bracha. Vidome, this is the key point. Vidome ktsas over lesiyason. It's somewhat similar to saying the bracha prior to actually eating it. Now, lemaisa, of course, he said the bracha afterwards, but since he recognized it beforehand, so he wanted to say the bracha now. He couldn't say the bracha because he had liquid in his mouth, but it's as if. Why is the Rush struggling to explain? Why is he justifying it's over lesiyason? It's not over lesiyason, because Rush was so strong about the opinion that birchas nenen served as a matir, it can only work over lesiyason, not after the fact. So I think it's beautiful in the Rush. Now, it's somewhat challenging. How could you say lemaisa, it's not there? But I guess conceptually it exists to a certain extent over lesiyason. Okay, now, however, there's a big problem in Rashi. You see what Rashi said, Reuven? Did you look at Rashi? Remember what he said? I don't mean to put you on the spot. So Rashi writes that mashkin bolon, that when you drink the, you're supposed to swallow the liquid that's in your mouth. He says below bracha. And you don't say bracha afterwards. Why not? If Rashi is of the opinion that birchas nenen is a hodah, it's birchas nenen is a hodah learned from a kal vachomer, ultimately from birchas hamazon, which is osa hodah. So shouldn't Rashi allow you to say bracha after the fact, just like we thought the opinion of the Rambam, just like we initially explained the Rush? Now at the end, though, why does Rashi passing you don't say bracha afterwards? Any thoughts? So, let's leave that question aside for now. We're going to get to the halacha maisa for a moment, and we're going to see Magen Avraham, which I think we could use to explain this opinion of Rashi. So, how do you paskin halacha? So, I told you before that it's pretty straightforward when it comes to the food. Shulchan Aruch found in Siman Kuf Ayin Beis says, let's say someone accidentally put food in his mouth. So, what do you do? So, let's first read Sif Beis as much just smoother if you put food in your mouth. So it depends if the food is disgusting, we spit it out or not. If it's something disgusting like strawberries, you keep it in your mouth, put it to the side, you say the bracha. If it's something like a lollipop, which is not disgusting, you'd eat it again. So then you're supposed to take it out of your mouth, say the bracha, and put it back in. Very straightforward. However, Sif Aleph, he talks about the case of liquids. So what do you do with liquids? So Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows. You put liquids in your mouth accidentally without a bracha. You're supposed to bolon, swallow it, and you do not say a bracha afterwards. However, the Ramah says you do say bracha afterwards. Okay. So the big question is, again, we spoke a little bit in the alumnus why you're allowed to take it and drink it. But the real question in the sugi is, do you say bracha after you finish or not say bracha after you finish? So here, the Magen Avraham writes that, let's say you do paskin like the Ramah, you say bracha rishona afterwards. Are you also supposed to say a bracha achrona? Let's say you have water in your mouth and you have enough of a shear, so you drink it, and you're done. You say shehakol niya bidvaro, and then you say bori nefashos. What are you supposed to do? So this is what's the base of the side? Why wouldn't you say bracha achrona? It should be obvious. So he writes, delo matzinu beis bracha smucho zelaze. We never find two brachas next to each other, like that. So therefore, what? He just said, he doesn't like tell us which bracha, obviously you have like a lot of brachas next to each other, but I guess in Kaik, it's birchas nenen. He never said birchas nenen and followed directly by birchas achor bracha achrona. So his pshar is as follows. If the liquid is something of the shivas haminim, namely wine, so since there are some who hold bracha achrona main shalosh is deraisa, some at machlokas. So that you should say right after. You say hagafen and then you say main shalosh. But if you have water or soda, any other liquid that's burning nefashos, you would not say that bracha. That's the pshara he comes up with. But with this Magen Avraham, I think we can go now explain Shitas Rashi. Just like the Magen Avraham says, you don't say two brachas right after each other. Rather, you just say rishona and not achrona. Rashi says the same thing, but instead Rashi says, You don't say bracha rishona, rather you say only the bracha achrona. Because what's pshat of Magen Avraham? Just that we don't find it? Dilo matzinu, is that a good proof we never happens? Well, this is the case, it happens. Is dilo matzinu a good raya? Maybe the svar of the Magen Avraham is as follows. They're both serving a brachas hadavs. Why say two brachas hadavs?
Right.
You know, thank him for the drink and then thank him for having the drink again. It's unnecessary. It's bracha latala maybe. So that's why you just say one of them. But the Rashi might work even better. Before the bracha, the most appropriate bracha is the brachas hanenin, shahakol, hagafen, whatever it is. After you've gotten it, so the more appropriate hadav would be the way the chachamim structure the bracha. Better to say that if they're both serving the same purpose, the bracha achrona is a much more appropriate bracha. So yes, you don't say the bracha rishona because after the food, it's better to say. So it's not really a question of ration.
Right. How are we explaining the lo matzinu part? What exactly?
So either lo matzinu means simply that we should never find it, so you can't apply it here. Or lo matzinu is he's trying to say a little bit deeper than that. You never find two birchas hadas on the same item back to back.
Right.
You only need one. You don't need two.
Right.
So while Magen Avraham thinks the best bracha to use is bracha rishona, not bracha achrona, Rashi thinks it's more appropriate to use bracha achrona, not bracha rishona. And I think Rashi would be more, if this is all true,
right.
Again, it's a chiddush. I think it's mistaber to use bracha achrona because that was really established to say after the food. Now, the Magen Avraham writes, and so too in the Shabru writes, L'maisa, when it comes to drinks, you should really pass like the rabbi. You should really spit the liquids out. Well, even though the Shulchan Aruch and Rav Ma Paskin, you're supposed to swallow it, the Magen Avraham will argue and say you should really spit out the liquid and say bracha on another drink. Let's say you have some water, spit it out and say bracha on the other drink that you're about to drink. That's how we should Paskin. But let's say you happen to swallow you drink it, then we Paskin against the Rav Ma, like the Shulchan Aruch, you don't say bracha. I know, complicated things. We have a whole Machlokes Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch. We don't paskin like the Ramah. We don't paskin like either one. But again, Lamaisa, liquid in your mouth, best thing to do is spit it out. If you swallow it, don't say bracha. That's halach Lamaisa. And this is a very interesting sugya because it connects to the Birchas Hanenin, whether to midin Iser or midin Hoda. Now let's move to another topic. I think I mentioned yesterday, I wanted to discuss a little bit about whether Birchas Hanenin is a deraisa or a derabanan. Now the Gemara on Lamed Heyman Aleph, according to the symbol reading, concluded that Birchas Hanenin is midin svar. And Tosus, right at the bottom of Lamed Heyman Aleph, writes, El svaru, v'kra d'nosiv la'el, the pasuk the Gemara quoted earlier, was in Esmach de Balma. And Tosa writes earlier also, even when the Gemara quoted the Kal v'Chomer, before it had rejected the Kal v'Chomer, he says, not a real Kal v'Chomer. The Gemara never really could have taken that Kal v'Chomer seriously. It never really could have obligated a Birchas Hanenin deraisa. So, because we have earlier in the Perek Mishamesu that a Baal Keri does not say a Bracha Rishonah. If a Bracha Rishonah is deraisa, how could a Baal Keri just do away with it? Baal Keri is only Takanas Ezra. The Takanas Ezra, the Baal Keri can't learn Torah and say certain brachas. How could that uproot a deraisa? It must be that Birchas Hanenin is only a derban. Ah, isn't there a opinion of Rabbi Yehuda who says the Baal Keri does say Birchas Hanenin Bracha Rishona? Tosafot writes that's only because of Hilchos Derech Eretz. Whatever that exactly means, the Gemara talks about Hilchos Derech Eretz. But either way, Tosafot concludes Birchas Hanenin Bracha Rishona is only a chiyuv derabanan, not chiyuv deraisa. However, look at the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua argues.
So, the svara he says it is an asmachta.
No, he says the when the pesukim brought earlier,
right.
And all the kavachomers, all those were just a smacht as the Torah is finding, but really a svar ba'ama. It's just
okay.
So svar just a derabanan. Pnei Yeshua argues. Pnei Yeshua says Birchas Hanenin is actually a deraisa. If it's a deraisa, so why paskin suffik brachos lahakel? It's only if it's deraisa, it should be suffik deraisa l'chomro. This is because if you repeat the bracha, let's say you already had said a bracha, and you would repeat it again, you'd violate the iser bracha levatala, or bracha shein etzricha, iser deraisa lo sisa Hashem. But really, be atzim, it's real chiyuv deraisa. How does he know it's a deraisa? So Pnei writes, because something that learned from a svara has the status of deraisa. Torah, the Gemara, many places says, halamalikra. Svara, why do you need a pasuk? It's a svara. See, a svara could replace the need for a pasuk. So deraisa. Gilyoni Ashas on this Gemara here, Yosef Engel quotes a Namuki Yosef and Bob Mitzia. Namuki Yosef writes that there's an opinion that maos konos means divrei Torah, that with money you could purchase something. Giving money to someone, buy something, acquire something on a deraisa level. And he writes, Namuki Yosef, davar Torah lo mikro yalef. When it's called Davar Torah, it's not learned from a pasuk, ela misvar ba'alma. A svar ba'alma could create a deraisa din. And look at the base Otzer of Yosef Engel, goes to a whole lengthy discussion in general whether a svar is deraisa or derban. He quotes a number of interesting opinions. He also quotes some tshuvas, hilchos, halachos katanos, who quotes a number of opinions who think birchas hananin is deraisa. Truth is, we mentioned yesterday in Shir and Daf, Mem Chesam Beis, more Mem Chesam Beis, makes a number of drushes. My focus tonight about how to darshan the pasuk v'chalta v'savatu v'rachta. This is smack in the middle of Mem Chesam Beis, and the Gemara goes on to bring a few opinions. And the second opinion of the Gemara, Rebbe. So, Rebbe, I want to go through the whole Gemara here exactly to try to find the exact line. Let's see. Right, so Rebbe is like two short lines up. He says, "Lifonov minayin." How do you know to say bracha before? Talmud Lomar Asher Noson Luchal. The pasuk says at the end of Achad Vesrat Erachta. It says Asher Noson Luchal. Noson Luchal is to give to you. That's a reference to Mishen Noson Luchal. Talking about when it was given to you, you're supposed to say bracha. That means prior to eating. Reb Yitzchak says, "Einot Sarach." You don't need that pasuk. Harehu Omer, the pasuk says, we quoted this yesterday in Shir at the end, it says, Uveirach eslach mecha vesmei mecha. You're supposed to say a bracha on the bread and on your drink. He says, vesmei mecha, al tikrei uveirach elo uveirach. Vemesai kar lechem kodun sheachlen. You say a bracha on lechem, when to call lechem before you eat it. Ibn Asin says, I'll bring you another pasuk. And this is what we quoted in Shir yesterday. He brings another pasuk, the source of birchas hananin. So you see the number of tanoim who say you're supposed to say a birchas hananah, birchas hananin midiraisa. So machlokes rishonim whether or not these sources are asmachtas or deraisas. The Ritva writes that all those limudim are simply asmachta ba'amas, but the Rashba writes no, those are real limudim, they're real deraisa dinim. Rather, but we don't paskin this way. It's a machlokes tanoim, but we don't paskin it's deraisa, we paskin it's derabanan. There is an opinion of the Rabbeinu Chananel. There's a red sefer on brachos. It's in a few other masechtas as well. Rabbeinu Chananel seems to be mashma that birchas hananin is a deraisa. Okay, so after all that, there's a number of sources we discuss. Is birchas hananin deraisa or is it derabanan? So we explained earlier, we spoke about the suffix brachos lahaka. What was the hezber? We saw machlokas actually. The Gemara used bezim and alf. What do you do in a case of suffix bracha? Machlokas riff versus tosfos. Do you have to repeat the bracha or not repeat the bracha? You said that machlokas is dependent on whether there's an iser b'davar or not. The Gilyon HaShas there seemed to imply there's an iser. So how could you not repeat the bracha and eat? You have to repeat the bracha to be matir iser. And the other opinion says, no, there's no iser. You can eat it without saying a bracha. Now we can explain, perhaps machlokas about suffix brachos is whether it's deraisa or derbanan. If it's deraisa, so that's the reason to be machmir. If it's derbanan, that's a reason to be mekil. Now the Prima Gadim wants to suggest as follows, similar to what the Pnei Yeshua was saying earlier, even if you say it's deraisa though, you still may hold suffix brachos lahakel. Pnei Yeshua said, why do you say suffix brachos lahakel? Pnei Yeshua said, because it might be bracha levatala to repeat it. You may have said it already. So repeating it, it's going to be bracha levatala, bracha shein etzricha. Prima Gadim writes, now why don't you repeat it? You don't repeat it because how do you know it's a deraisa? He's assuming one of the opinions. You know it's a deraisa because of the kal v'chomer from bench. And what do we say about kal v'chomers? Shema yesh pircha. I mean, he did this earlier. Ain't own shema din, he did a little bit. So you say, why? One of the reasons why ain't own shema din, why don't you implement punishment through a kal v'chomer? Because one of the three svaras is shema yesh pircha. Maybe since kal v'chomers are allowed to be made by individuals, you might be faulting your logic. It might be sound according to us, but there might be some logic that breaks this kal v'chomer we're not familiar with. And for that reason, you can't implement, impose punishment based on a kal v'chomer. So too, right, prima gadim, we can't enforce someone to say a bracha based on a kal v'chomer, even though it's seemingly deraisa, there might be a flaw in the logic.
Why should I do it great? I mean, that sometimes I shouldn't be
by. In the Maisa, we spoke earlier that Shulchan Aruch paskins in a few two places that that brachos, birchas and nenen is only derbanon, and therefore savik brachos lahakel. Okay, we did a lot today, so maybe we'll stop. I know it's a little early, maybe we'll just stop now. I went through a lot of different topics. Tomorrow we'll go through the sugya of matemes and how it relates to the Gemara says you could eat, taste without saying a bracha, and you'll have to taste on a tainus, and we'll speak a little bit about tasting Erev Shabbos during the 9 days, tasting some of the meat. So those are the three topics that should keep us busy for tomorrow.